Welcome to Glory and Peace Church. We believe miracles are going to be released into your life today. Breakthroughs beyond measure.
Hallelujah. Please expect a miracle, expect your breakthrough, expect God to give you a special package.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Be engaged, because in your engagement, your miracles shall be made manifest. A prophetic word is not a new word to God. A prophetic word is a declaration of something that God has already done.
Of the Lord, yes. Say learn.
Yes.
So you have to learn, because
complicated.
Women are complicated. It takes a woman to understand a woman. A man can never. So men, let me give you a piece of advice. You'll never be able to understand a woman. So just live by faith.
Hallelujah. Good morning, Glory and Peace Church. Good morning to those online. Welcome to all those who are new. Praise God. We're going to stand and start praise and worship together. Let's just welcome Him in this place. Father, we worship Your name.
Hallelujah.
We praise You, God. We will praise the Lord because He is good. We will praise the Lord because He is faithful. Hallelujah. He is faithful to us. Every promise He has already fulfilled. Praise You, God. Praise the Lord. We praise Your name this morning, Father God.
Jehovah.
you and I will praise the Lord. You and I, you and I, you and I will praise the Lord.
You and I,
you and I will praise the Lord.
You and I
will praise the Lord. You and I, you and I. Yeah.
we go.
We go to hail your name,
you Lord Jesus.
Day by day.
All the way, Lord, all the way.
All the way.
Church will carry your glory, Father God. Hallelujah.
Hail your name. Day by day.
All the way.
All the way. All the way.
He can. Glory
go to hell. Glory go to hell. Hail your name.
Your love to him. We worship you, Jesus. We praise your name, Father God. We worship you, God. You are the Almighty God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We worship you, God. Hallelujah. We praise your name. We praise your name. You are God. You are God. You are the only God. You are the highest God. Father, we worship you this morning. Father, I worship you this morning. Hallelujah. Just say, I worship you, God. I know you are in control. I know you are great. I know you are kind. I know you are generous to me because I am your child. Hallelujah. I know that you are in control. I know you know every detail of my life. I know you've written out my days. I know that every step I take, Father God, I will take it in you, Father God. I align myself with you, Lord. I worship your name. I worship your name. I am in your will. I am in your will, Father God. I align myself with you. I want to be completely in your will, Father God. I worship your name. Hallelujah. We sing, you are Alpha.
Hey!
I give you, Lord.
Keeping God, there is no one like you, Alpha and Omega. There is no one like you, covenant keeping God. There is no one like you, Alpha and Omega. There is no one. We worship you, Lord. We worship you. We worship you alone. You are worthy to be praised. We give you your way in this place today. We know not what to do but to worship you, knowing, O God, that you are the God who establishes your people. You're God who directs their path. You're God who leads them. You are our good shepherd. Lord, O God, today we bless your holy name. We present ourselves before your throne room. Before you, Father, we present ourselves that we may hear what you have to say to us and see that which you will reveal to us, that your will may be done here in the earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we surrender all to you, our covenant-keeping God. You are Alpha, you are Omega, and there is none like you. There is nothing you cannot do. So do for us, O God, great and mighty things this day. We receive our testimony. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are Alpha and Omega. We bless you, Lord. You start and you finish. You've started a good work in us. And we know, God, that because that's who you are, you will complete it. Blessed be your holy name forever. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Welcome to the house of the Lord. May the Lord grant you great grace today. May every one of us have an encounter that we'll be reminded of all of our days, because something extraordinary happened in our lives today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, worship team.
God day, everybody. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. He is a covenant-keeping God. He never fails us, and he will never leave us forsaken. Hallelujah. Well, children, we just pray for you. Where you are, so stay where you are. I'm going to pray. Praise God. Father, we thank you for today. It's another great day that you have privileged us to know and to have. We bless your holy name. This is the day you have made for us to rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for all our lives. Thank you. We are praising you in the land of the living. We give you praise, O God. We give you praise, we give you praise, we give you praise. Thank you for all our families, all our biological children, spiritual children, partners, and extended families all over the world. We bless them now. Everyone from age 120 plus to zero, to those in seed form, those that are moving around in the earth, every decade of life, we lift everyone before you. Touch them, strengthen them, heal, restore, make them whole. Bless every one of them. Be empower them, O God. During the summer break, as children are home from school, be with them. Strengthen them, O God. Be with their parents and their helpers and the people who take care of them, whether it's daycare or grandparents. Touch everyone and strengthen them. In the mighty name of Jesus, we bless all our teachers. And we thank you for your goodness. Father, today, anyone who's sick among us, we say, be healed, be restored, and be made whole. Be strengthened from your inner man to your physical man. In the mighty name of Jesus, from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. We thank you, Lord, by the stripes of Jesus. They are healed emotionally, spiritually, physically, every aspect of their life. And even their pocketbooks are healed. Finances are healed. You have paid the price for everything. The Lord is our shepherd, and we shall not want. We thank you for total provision. You have a way. There is no dead end in you. When we think that it's over, you say, no, it's not. You open the sea, and you open doors. We give you praise, and we receive breakthroughs. For truly, you are the good shepherd. We go in and out of you, and we find green pastures. Not dead pastures, green pastures. We receive green pastures. Everybody say, I receive green pastures. In Jesus' mighty name. every area of your life, anything that you are lacking this morning, the Lord is able. Say, I receive green pastures in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let's go into read the word. We're going to do Psalm 111. I think there are 10 verses. So you can join and I don't know what's happening to my iPad. It's doing this game this morning. Praise the Lord. All right. Psalm 111. You can put it up on the screen. Let's read together. Praise ye the Lord. I'll praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright. Are there upright people here this morning? Say amen. And in the congregation, are there congregation people here this morning? So we'll praise the Lord. Can you let out a big praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. Verse 2, the works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. Hallelujah. May you take pleasure in the work of the Lord, including yourself. Anytime you talk down on yourself, you are not taking pleasure in God's work because you are God's masterpiece. Hallelujah. The Bible says you are fearfully and wonderfully made, so you are special. Somebody say, I'm special. You don't need somebody to tell you that. God said you are, so you are. Say, I'm special. He said, take pleasure in the work of his hands. Hallelujah. Verse 2, read it again. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. You got to seek his work out. Amen? Say amen. Say, I will seek him. Say, I will seek him. Well, you know, salvation can only come to you by confession. So when you confess these things, you are saying salvation. You say, Yeshua is in me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His work is honorable and glorious. And his righteousness endureth forever. Things around you might not look glorious and honorable right now, but they are going to be in the name of Jesus. Say amen. Say, his work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, there's been a lot of floods all around the world, destroying and removing things and causing a lot of havoc. You know, but when you look sometimes, you will see trees. They're just there. Or everything is being washed away. You know, but the trees are still there. That's his work. Hallelujah. Even you will see some humans being washed away. The human washed away are still his work. But he is glorious. In spite of all the things happening, God is still glorious. His work is still honorable. Are you part of his work? I am part of his work. So your life will be honorable and glorious. Somebody say, my life will be honorable and glorious. Now say, my life is honorable and glorious. If you believe that, say amen. And he said, it endures forever. Hallelujah. Verse 4, he had made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Some people say God has gone on vacation on them. I say God is present. He's very present. So as you praise him, he'll be more present. As we worship him this morning, the more we continued in it, you felt his presence. The more you magnify his work, the more you see more testimonies. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 5. He had given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. Praise the Lord. He's truly a covenant-keeping God. He's ever, not sometimes. So his covenant is before his eyes, is in his memory, not sometimes, every nanosecond. Hallelujah. So, and you are part of his covenant. So he's mindful of you and your family. Say amen. Say, the Lord is mindful of me and my household and everything that concerns me. Say amen. So you know your today and your tomorrow is going to be great, because the great God is mindful of you. Verse 6, he had shown his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. That is abundance of transfer. So the heathen are working for you, storing up stuff that is going to come for you. So you didn't know you're a big boss. Somebody say, I'm a big boss. Praise. That's the word of the Lord. Somebody say, I'm a big boss. They're just walking and piling up, and they're coming for you. Hallelujah. Say, I receive the word of the Lord. Well, he holds his word above his name. So this is it. He said he had showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. Did he do it when he was getting them out of bondage, out of Egypt, and he was going to take them into the promised land? Did all the heathen, all the things they've been working and storing and doing evil against, what happened to them? Complete transfer. So the same, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Say amen. You have not lost anything. Everything that belongs to you is coming to you. It's coming to you and your family. I always say there are early bloomers and there are late bloomers. Either way, you are going to bloom. Say, I'm going to bloom and blossom. He's a covenant-keeping God. He's still the same God that will cause a dead almond branch to bloom and blossom in darkness where there is no light. Hallelujah. I'm fruitful and bear fruit and eating in the same day. That God is my God. I don't know who your God is. That's the God I've come to worship today, and I've come to listen to, and is the one that I put my trust in. If you are doing the same, say a big amen. Amen. Verse 7, the works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. So hallelujah. All of them is real and sure, guaranteed. Say a big amen. Verse 8, they stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. Say another big amen. Verse 9, he sent redemption unto his people. He had commanded his covenant forever. Did you hear that? The covenant has been commanded forever. So covenant is working right now in my life. Say, covenant is working in my life. You ought to be saying it like you mean it. You know, if you do this, it's covenant is working in my life right now. Even the devil knows you don't mean business. Even the angels know you don't mean business. If you mean business, you say it, let me hear you. It's a commanded covenant. It has no choice. God says, my word shall go forth and do what I've sent it to do. It cannot return void. Whatever covenant promises God has made regarding my life, your life, it must manifest. I say it must manifest. Manifest in my life. Manifest in my family. Manifest in my ministry. Manifest in my city, in my nation. Anything God has commanded shall come to pass. He says, he shall. Let's read that verse again. He sent redemption unto his people. Did he send the Redeemer to us? Yes, his name is Yeshua, Jesus. He had commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. Say amen. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Everything about God is forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everything about him is forever. So you too, you are forever. Let us rise and pray together. Father, we give you praise. We receive your holy word into our hearts. They've gone deep, 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 deep down into our spirit, creating roots and rivers of living waters. And they are going to bring forth many, 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 many forever fruits that will glorify your holy name. Father, we thank you, O God, that you are a covenant-keeping God. And we are a covenant people of God. We receive the commanded covenant blessing that is functioning in our lives right now. As you have declared it and decreed it to do, so it is working right now. Your covenant is working right now, working in my life, working in everyone who's hearing the sound of my voice. Covenant-keeping God, you are doing exactly what your word says. The everlasting covenant you cut with our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it is functioning at 100% capacity. It shall not be delayed, it shall not be denied, and it shall be made manifest in every aspect of our lives, every part, spirit, soul, body, emotionally, financially, physically, every part, in the name of Jesus, all dimensions, in the air, in the land, in the waters, in the sea, in all dimensions, everything is hearing and obeying the commanded covenant blessing. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the nation of Israel. We thank you for Jerusalem. We speak peace to Israel. Peace to Jerusalem. Peace within her walls and her palaces. Peace, peace, peace. Let God arise. And let all his enemies be scattered. Let all his enemies be scattered. Let all his enemies be scattered in the mighty name of Jesus. And let all our enemies be scattered. Let all our enemies be scattered. Let all our enemies be scattered in the mighty name of Jesus. The word of the Lord has gone forth. It will do exactly what it needs to do. We thank you for restoration and peace and wholeness. We speak peace, that same peace, over all nations. For out of Abraham shall all nations be blessed. We receive that peace and that blessing for all nations. For Israel, Canada, Nigeria, United States of America, Brazil, Tanzania, in the mighty name of Jesus, and all the nations of the earth this morning, where somebody is calling upon the name of the Lord. Father, hear your people's cry. Answer their cry. Take care of the widows, orphans, and those who are poor and those who cannot take care of themselves. For your word says you are married to the widow. Take care of their needs. We thank you, God, for moving the hand of people and blessing the hands of people, blessing the work of their hands, that they have more than enough to magnify your name and bless others. Father, we give you praise. Being the service this morning, we open up our heart to receive your word. Receive your word that is coming with power, with grace, with favor, with mercy, with truth. And we thank you that the same prayer we've prayed over the nations is upon all our leaders, upon our ministers, and upon every family. In Jesus' name we declare so done. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Are you glad that you're in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. Me too. Before I bring forth the word of the Lord for us this morning, I want us to be reminded once again about the word of the Lord to us concerning this month, and be reminded that when the Lord gives a word, it does not begin and end that month. It means that that is a statement henceforth. Amen? And you and I need to embrace that commanded word, that covenant word, which, as we read a moment ago, is forever. Amen? Hallelujah. So let us hear what the Lord has to say to us once again. Somebody say, July is my month of overflow. Hallelujah. 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 Do you receive that word? Amen. The word of the Lord is that you have to bind this strong man so that you can spoil his house. That's putting the horse before the cart rather than the cart before the horse. You've got to bind first, defeat the enemy, and then take the victory. In life, many times we neglect the small beginning. Think of it as not much. But when you think, I want you to listen, because truth is everywhere around us. But many times we do not connect to what truth is. The great river, sea, ocean, can be traced back to a source point. And when you get to where the source is, it's like the video you just saw a moment ago. It's drip, 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 drip. Every river started from somewhere with a drip, 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 but becomes the great river. The start of anything in your life may not be so dramatic and amazing. It may look like something that has no consequence, but there's a bigger measure ahead of you. That goes for that which is good, and that goes for that which is bad. Just a little sin here, a little sin here. It's just a white lie. I don't know where they came up with that one, but maybe there's something called a black lie too. But it's about to create a major problem down the line. Just a little look. Just a little flirting. And at the end, it becomes a major situation. Are you with me? Everything starts small. Everything starts small. The big oak tree started as a small little seed. When things are changing, many times we don't see the full picture. And we just say, well, just a bunch of truckers down the street. But you don't see a movement. Just a little this year, but you don't see the magnificent, amazing things that are about to happen. That's why the word overflow becomes a very interesting word for me. Because overflow starts with a little drip, starts somewhere. And this year, God has been giving us particular words. He said, March was my month of what? Victory. And then we stepped into April, and the word was acceleration. Then we stepped into May, and the word was expansion. Then we came to June. And it was what? Increase. And now we're in July, and it says overflow. The amazing thing about God is this, that the God who starts small and ends big really started big to start small. He sees the end, then he starts. There is nothing that God has started that he has not already finished. Oh my God. Let me say it again. There is nothing that God starts that he hasn't already finished. May I say it a third time? There is nothing God starts that he hasn't already finished. He finished it and then he started it. It is like this. I'm in a time zone where a particular game is being played. And the people at the other end of the nation at a different time zone don't know what the results were. And I watched the whole thing from the beginning to the end, know every move that happened, what the final score was, and then I tell somebody over this end what the score is going to be. If it is already finished, will anything change? Nothing? Nothing. Because it's already finished. The score was 24-5. And I tell this guy over at this end, the score is 24-5.
He says, come on. It's not possible. They can't beat that excellent team 24-5. You mean it is the other way around? No, 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 no. This team beat this team 24-5. It's not possible. And when it gets there and he sees the program, it's 24-5. It will be incredible if the score was 5-0. Come along. 5-0, and it's 15 minutes left in the game. And he says, I told this guy, my team is going to win this game. He said, forget, let me go have a coffee. And he goes to brew his coffee, comes back, and the score is, what happened? What happened was, it is finished. It is finished. That's what happened. What has God finished in my life today? I have an announcement for the devil and all his cohorts. It is finished. I will fulfill my destiny. Do you receive that word? Maybe I'm not preaching to you today. Maybe I'm preaching to me. It is finished. It's a done deal. God who started, finished it before he started. There must be a performance, a manifestation of that which God has already decreed. Amen? God has not forgotten. Let me say that again. God has not forgotten. God made a promise to a man called Abraham. Told Abraham about how blessed his family was going to be. But in the midst of telling him how amazing and how blessed his family was going to be, he tells him about the dark days that his family was going to go through. They were going to be in a foreign land. And they were going to be there for 400 plus years. He would have lived and died, had no way of proving that what he heard from God was what was going to happen. And one day, out of nowhere, God started the process. Inconsequential. God, are you ready for this? God had marked out a young man that was supposed to be the firstborn of a man and a woman that loved each other. And there comes the devil and says, this isn't going to happen. And he produces a different firstborn by switching wives. Are you with me? The one that's supposed to carry that firstborn is barren. But God was waiting. Because God has a way of making one twice. You'll get it in a moment. The one that was not supposed to be the wife of the man, you know his name, right? What's his name? Thank you. Jacob. You are awake. Jacob is supposed to marry who? Rachel. And Rachel is switched off for who? Leah. Leah now has child number one. Leah is pumping out the kids. Rachel is barren. And when it was time, God, who has finished, to start, gets Rachel to give birth to the 11th. Somebody say 11th child. What makes 11? One and one. Because God is the God of the double. Amen? 10 is a number of completion, just like 7. So 11 is a number of new beginnings. Are you with me? Okay. What month is this? The seventh month. What day is this? The 10th day. Guess what you're about to do? You're about to step into your 11th day experience. Hear it. Hear it. Hear it deep within your spirit, because God is going to finish what God started. It looked like nothing was going to happen, but God was working out the details. The Bible says, in the book of Genesis, chapter 37. Genesis 37. It says, and Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. And then we read these words. These are the generations of Jacob. And when you read those words, you expect to see and read words like this. And Jacob begat. But we don't see any begattens here. We read Joseph being present tense continuous. 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. We read in verse 3, now Israel loved Joseph more than. Why? Because he loved the mother. More than all his children. Because he was the son of his old age. Didn't he have another son called Benjamin? The son of his old age. This is the child that I've been waiting for. Yes, Reuben and all of them, they are great. But this is the one from the one that I love, that I've been waiting for. And the Bible says, and he made him a coat of many colors. When he made him the coat of many colors, something happened. The young man began to dream. He dreamt dreams. He dreamt dreams like he was in a field. And there were sheaves that were bound together in the field. He says in verse 7, for behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And what? Also. Which means that the other sheaves were standing already. Come on, come on. and his was down. While others were standing, he says, but my sheep arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves that have been standing all this while made obeisance to my sheaf. Don't despise small beginnings. Don't despise delayed beginnings. God, who finished, started. And when he starts, he finishes. Are you with me? My sheaf rose also, and yours that have been standing bowed. When God has a grace on your life, your present setting must not be the interpretation of your future. It has nothing to do with it. Your story is about his story, manifested in you and through you. And so you must not neglect and despise your particular situation because of what's happening with everybody else. Yes, everybody else, they're doing great, but when you show up at the fullness of your time, they will bow to the integrity of the grace of God that has been bestowed upon your life because God has chosen you for a purpose. Somebody shout hallelujah. So it was. The man is dreaming and he gets tossed into a pit when he went to help his brothers because they hated him. They were saying things like, we're going to get rid of this guy. And let's see what's going to happen with all those dreams that he's been having. What they did not know is that if God said something, he has the power to bring it to pass. You know the incredible thing about it? He's well able to turn stones and make them animate. There is no limit to what God will do. You've heard me say it before. The God who promised Sarah a child made himself and Isaac. The God who promised Hannah a child made himself a Samuel. Oh, maybe this is too heavy this morning. The God who promised David a son on the throne made himself the son of David. When God gives a promise, if he can't find anybody else to bring it to pass, he makes himself the fulfillment of his word. Oh my. I don't know if you're hearing yet. Listen to what God says in the book of Isaiah 59. Isaiah chapter 59. I'm going to take it from verse 16. Isaiah 59 and verse 16. The word of God says, and he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. God was looking for an intercessor, and he found nobody, and he found no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him. Because you need intercessors for salvation. And his righteousness, it sustained him. Say, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying if God. The devil is a liar. If God can't find a person to do what he needs to do, he'll do it himself. Therefore, it's a privilege when God asks me to do something. It's a privilege to be invited by God to participate in anything. God asks you to do something, celebrate. Thank him for the privilege. Oh God, thank you for the privilege, the honor to participate. Hallelujah. Verse 17. Watch. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate. Oh my Lord, God puts on righteousness as a breastplate. Is that not what I'm supposed to have on? Because he wants me to go to war. He says, okay, since I can't find anybody, and an helmet of salvation. God wants to get saved? No, he's looking for an intercessor. Somebody who will get dressed for war. He found nobody, so he put on the helmet of salvation. Is that not what I'm supposed to have on? Wow. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. I'm going to take care of this business. He says, according to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. Why? So shall they fear the name of the Lord. From the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. Guess what? If that's what he got dressed for, that must mean that's what he's assigned me and you to do. To speak and cause men to have a fear and a reverence for God. For reverend is his name. Hallelujah. We want to preach Mickey Mouse messages. Messages that don't challenge anybody. That don't cause the saints to have a reverence and an honor for God. But what God wants people to do is to have true reverence, a true fear of God, and for his glory to be manifested in the earth. He says, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in, when the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up his standard against him. Hallelujah. like a flood, God will raise up his standard against that enemy. Whatever that enemy is that has come against you, whatever that enemy is that's trying to cause you not to experience the goodness of God, God of war, the God who looks for an intercessor, didn't find one, but became the intercessor, God is going to break forth on the left, on the right, on your behalf to make certain that the devil does not have his way, that his grace sufficient will wipe off every attack of the enemy and cause his name to be glorified. Hallelujah. He is our Redeemer, and he shall come to Zion and unto the people of God that turn away from transgressions. God, the God of Jacob, shall glorify his name forever. Somebody shout hallelujah. Joseph is thrown into a pit. Then he's sold to the Ishmaelites / Midianites. Then he's sold to Potiphar. God is perfectly strategic. He starts as a slave only to become a savior. He starts in a pit. Why? Because that was God's way of saying, you are getting sold. I'm planting you to become something extraordinary. You have a future. You don't know it. Right now you're crying. Right now you're thinking you are rejected. Right now you're thinking that you are abandoned. But child, I have a plan. God, I don't see it. I don't see your plan. All I see is all this dirt. All I see is me being in this pit. All I see is me being a slave. All I see is me being a prisoner. But God is saying, I have a palace for you. Palace. Give me a break. What palace? How? You are going to become prime minister. That's not possible. Not possible. Me, from Israel, a child of Jacob, I'm going to come here and become what? Well, God didn't have to tell him anything because God didn't want him to talk out and mess up with the words of his mouth, his story. Sometimes God will tell you very little so that you don't mess up what he has. Did he end up becoming prime minister? Yeah. But wait a minute. It was just the beginning of the experience for 400 years of darkness. Remember what we said earlier? God finishes so he can start. God finished it with Joseph so that he can start. Because now, these Jews, these Israelites, were going to go through a painful experience. Because there came a Pharaoh that did not know Joseph. Joseph had been used mightily of God to bring the entire world, even his family. Because if Joseph was not born, that's why Genesis 37, the generations of Jacob, Joseph being. And I want you to, I said, present tense continuous, because there's a Joseph anointing. Hallelujah. It has not stopped. And the Joseph anointing is carried by men and women that have a dream, and they don't see the manifestation of it. The Joseph anointing is in the life of men and women who are binding their sheaves with everybody else, and other people's sheaves are standing, but theirs is still lying down. At the fullness of time, at the right perfect time, God was still working. Because while the Pharaoh is busy trying to kill out the boys, making certain that there were no boys to the Israelites, God brought two midwives that were busy saving the boys. Now, one of those boys, his name was Moses. And the mother is busy trying to hide Moses. But there comes a time when you cannot hide it anymore. And you got to trust God. And she makes an ark, puts the child in the ark, puts the child in the alligator crocodile infested waters of the Nile. Floats it. There is a sister called Miriam watching this ark floating away. But there is a God who goes to a princess and says, it's time for you to go have a nice jacuzzi bath. So she heads out. And she saw the ark. And she goes and checks it out. And there's a baby inside the ark, inside this basket. She says, this must be one of those Hebrew kids. And she killed the child. No? But that's what she's supposed to do. The child is now in the enemy's camp, but doesn't get killed. Wow. God finishes, then he starts. She takes on the child, and here comes Miriam, the one who's been watching all this while, comes to her and says, do you need help to take care of this child? Because I see you've never been pregnant, and you're not pregnant now, and there's no way for you to feed this child. I can maybe get a nurse for this child for you. Sure. Do you know somebody? Yeah, I know somebody. Goes, gets the mother. And now the mother takes care of the child. And guess what? There is protection over this child and her family, and his family. Are you with me? If not here, somewhere in the last week or so, ministering somewhere, I said something that I've said to you before, and I'll say again today, we were all born from above. And that's what causes us to become ambassadors. Yeah, I said that here. We become ambassadors for Christ, for the kingdom of God. I said to us, when you become an ambassador, you are provided for by the government that sent you out as an ambassador. You are protected by the government that sent you out as an ambassador. But thirdly, watch this. The place where you have your embassy and you are an ambassador, that country, that place has to provide protection for you too. Remember this? Okay. And the implication of that is this, that you and I need not worry about what the devil wants to do, because he cannot mess with you without him messing with God and the kingdom of God. If you want a big fight, mess with me when I am an ambassador of God. Hallelujah. You want to know how you can be an ambassador? Anybody wants to know how you can be an ambassador of God? You want to? Okay. He that winneth souls is what? Wise. Because it is a person who is preaching the kingdom and the culture of the kingdom that is representing the kingdom of God. If you are not a witness unto him, you are no ambassador. And you cannot lay claim to the protection of God. You want protection. You want provision. You want the devil to tell all his minions, if you mess with him, you're on your own. Because I will personally come after you. Because I don't want any problem from his father. Share the gospel. Hallelujah. You don't know who you may be talking to. Somebody obviously led a Maurice Cerullo to the Lord. Somebody led an R.W. Schambach to the Lord. Somebody led a Billy Graham to the Lord. True? It may have happened in a Sunday school class. And it looked like nothing much. Somebody led me to the Lord. It didn't look much like much then. Somebody led you to the Lord, and it didn't look like much then. But look at you now. What is God doing with your life? It was a little drip, drip, but a flood is coming. Hallelujah. Oh, my prayer doesn't mean much. God is looking for a man. I don't know how to pray. God is looking for a man. And he will teach us how to pray. One of my key prayers is, Lord, give me a prayer life. You believe that? Because I want to see what you are doing so I can begin to declare what you are doing in the heavens right now in the earth. I want to partner with you. And the only way that's going to happen is when I'm in that place of prayer and seeing what you are doing. Because prayer is not about asking God for this and asking God for that and asking God for this and asking God for that by telling him. And if you know, God already knows. So prayer is not about you telling God anything. It's about God telling you something. Put that up. Prayer is not you telling God something. It's about God telling you something. It's about you hearing from God, so that you, having heard from God, receiving faith, but faith comes by what? Hearing. You then begin to proclaim the word of the Lord. Are you getting this? God wants to work with me, and God wants to work with you. So God raises up a man. And one day, after being raised up as a prince in Pharaoh's court, having been raised by mother that reminded him who he was, you are a Hebrew. They may be taking care of you over there and providing for you and supplying everything that you need, but you are really a Hebrew. You are in the world, but not of the world. I was sharing with our leaders the other day about a man called Nehemiah. You think Nehemiah became a cupbearer because he just newly came from Judah, from Jerusalem. But no, he was about 200 years away from when his parents were exiled. But somehow, the parents kept on seeding into him his true story. This is who you are. This is where you came from. And it has been so seeded into him that 200 years later, when he hears about Jerusalem being in disarray and the walls burnt up and messed up, he was so seeded with the truth that his heart was still connected with a land that he knows nothing about. And he says, I need help to go fix the problem. Moses was that kind of a child. I'm sure the mother was feeding him all of the information and says, yes, you are there, but know that you are not of them. You are in the world, but you are not of that world. And there came a day when he took a step out of being zealous, and he kills an Egyptian, and he had to leave town. You know the story well. But then, at the fullness of time, a man who was raised as a prince is now learning, someone say learning, how to shepherd. Because God's plan and destiny for him was one of shepherding. He's going to shepherd our whole nation. Point. Whatever it is that you're experiencing, it's not wasted. You are being trained for God's divine purpose and destiny for your life. Don't ever go around thinking, I wasted time. No, you didn't waste no time. Nothing in your life happens by accident. When you're a child of God and you've been marked by God, God will direct your path. There are no mistakes in God. Potiphar's wife was not a mistake. That temptation was not a mistake. If he had committed adultery, he would have still ended up in prison. Because nothing that you do in secret stays secret. One day Potiphar would have found out, or one of the other slaves or servants would have found out and told on him, and he would have ended up in where? Prison. He did the right thing. He still ended up in prison because prison was still part of the story. Are you with me? It was still part of the story. The fact that Joseph was forgotten in prison for 2-3 years, I think it was not a mistake. Because if that butler had remembered that Joseph had told him that he should not forget him and went and told Pharaoh, there's a guy in prison that is there and he didn't do anything wrong. He was accused falsely and I need you to help him get him out of that place. Guess where Joseph would have gone to first? Back home. Back home. And if he'd gone home, there'll be no deliverance for Israel. Are you with me? Yes. Nothing that happens in your life is by accident. The challenges that you and I face are not by chance. There's a reason behind everything. The people you meet in your life, they are meant to be met. You say, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying, stop complaining. Stop griping. God finishes so he can start. Back to Moses. Moses is in the wilderness and he sees an interesting sight. A bush ablaze but not burning. And he goes by to see what on earth is this? Never seen anything like this. God speaks to him. God tells him, this is my name. I want you to go to Egypt and tell Pharaoh, let my people what? Go. And God says to him, he's not going to let them go. Not right away. Because I have another agenda. And this agenda is to break the backbone of Egypt, all of their gods. I'm going to destroy all of their gods. I'm going to humiliate every one of them. And then I'm going to get my people out. Lord, I'm a stammerer. I don't know what to say. Okay. I'll give you a spokesman. Aaron is going to be your spokesman. Do you know how incredible God is? Moses did not arrive in Egypt when he was met by Aaron. Because God will direct everyone that's supposed to be part of your destiny to be right where they're supposed to be. I declare that everyone that's supposed to be part of your life will present themselves at the rightful time, at the right place, for the glorification of God's glorious name and the awesomeness of His word for you. Amen? So the enemy is now going to be confronted. And we know the last one was the destruction of the firstborn. Israel marches on. And they're going out. And the Bible says in the book of Exodus, but before we go to the book of Exodus, I want us to look at this statement in Deuteronomy 11 and verse 4. Deuteronomy 11 and verse 4. I want you to watch this, because God has an agenda. God is reminding in the book of Deuteronomy 11 the Israelites about what has happened, how He dealt with different situations in the past. And then He says in verse 4, and what He did unto the army of Egypt, unto their horses, and to their chariots, how He made the water of the Red Sea to what? Overflow them as they pursued after you. And how the Lord had destroyed them unto this day. Destroyed whom? The army of Egypt. Which were what? The ones that were bosses over them. Whatever the enemy does and thinks he's going to accomplish, he is going to have a rude awakening. Because we have a God who cannot lie. Amen? The God yourself can't lie. We used to have green chairs in here. But when God said red chairs, green chairs moved for red. But let's put it this way. If God looks at this chair and He says this red chair is green, guess what that chair becomes? Green. That's why God cannot lie. Because what God says is what is. And God already declared and decreed that I am blessed. Guess what? I cannot help but be what? Blessed. So don't be a hater. So why are you so blessed? No, I am blessed because God said, blessed. It's a decree. When I come into agreement with that which God has said in the heavens, I make that will of God in the heavens the reality in the earth by saying the same thing. It's called confession. Yes. Homologia. I'm saying the same thing. Same word. You got that? What has God spoken about your life? And are you saying it? Let me say that again. Are you saying what God said about you? Because what you say is what you're going to have. there is a will of God in heaven, and that will of God in heaven is already fulfilled and accomplished. You get that? Now you, by the workings of your mouth, download into the hard drive of your life that which God has already declared and decreed in the heavens. And you do it by what you say. In essence, don't misunderstand this statement. Don't push it to an extreme. You become the God of your life by you speaking the word of God as his representative in the earth. The embassy of the United States in Canada, do you know that that particular turf is the United States? Yes? Okay. Your house is heaven on earth. Amen. Now, don't come back at me with your natural common sense. I want you to receive God's sense. Is there sickness in heaven? No sickness in heaven? No disease in heaven? If my house is heaven, should there be sickness there? Should there be disease there? Is there poverty in heaven? If my house is a part of the kingdom of God, should there be poverty there? So the idea is this: I lack nothing. I am blessed in my going out and in my coming in. Because the vehicle that the ambassador is driving in is a property of the United States, or the property of the ambassador of Canada anywhere, that's Canada. And touching anything that belongs to the ambassador is trouble. And guess what? An ambassador has diplomatic immunity. Huh? Wow. Diplomatic immunity? Guess what I've got? Diplomatic immunity. Does that mean that the enemy will not try to attack that in my ignorance, if my people perish because of a what? Because they don't know who they are. The lack of knowledge. Most of the things that happens to us because we are unaware of what our rights are. Rise with me and say with me, Father, I am your ambassador, and everything that concerns me is part of the kingdom of God. Therefore, this day, I declare and I decree that nothing that defies my immunity as a servant of the Most High God happens anywhere around me. My home is part of the kingdom and must experience kingdom experiences. Therefore, this day, every satanic agenda against my life is faced by the judgment of God. Let it settle. When you step in your home today, there will be no trouble there. Because there's no trouble in heaven. Trouble was there and was kicked out. Therefore, any trouble that's in your house right now is getting kicked out. In fact, when you go home today, get into that house and say, whatever does not belong in here, come here. I kick you out. Hallelujah. You are kicked out. Get out of here. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. I know I've been speaking for a while now. But I want to read to you very quickly certain things. I might make a stop here or there. From Deuteronomy 11. Starting to read from verse 8. Therefore shall ye keep all the commandments as I command you this day, that ye may be strong and go in and possess the land whither ye go to possess it. For the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt, from whence ye came out. Hear this as a prophetic declaration over your life. Because today, I want you to see the shift. For the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt from whence ye came out, where thou sowest thy seed. Watch this word. Where thou what? Sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. But the land whither ye go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of what? You watered from above. A land which the Lord thy God careth, oh, katoshimbre mataya, careth for. The Lord does what? Cares for it. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, and we're going to get the explanation of what that commandment is, which I command you this day, to do what? Say it out loud. To love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. What is the commandment? To love the Lord your God with all of your heart. To serve him with all of your heart and with all of your soul. That I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in the fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. I'm going to send the grass. Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Hold it, hold it, hold it. I want you to lose this point. If you're so blessed, everything is happening for you, everything is flourishing for you, why will you go and serve other gods and worship them? What do you think he's talking about? Come. He's not talking about idols out there. He's talking about the blessing. Oh. He's talking about all that blessing that you got, that you turn aside rather than focusing on the one who is the blesser. You start looking at the blessing. That's the problem. I'm so blessed, I got a cabin. Now you don't know where church is. Now you got your business. Now all you know is about work, because you think it's working 25 hours in a day. That's why you're getting blessed. Don't make that mistake. That's foolishness. It's understanding that God has determined rest. Somebody say rest. You are not going to have to sow and be watering and be... No, I'm going to take care of all of it. Oh, because, watch this. You've heard me say it before. It's not about formulas. The reason I give for souls, but especially as an expression of my faith and trust in God. God can bless me whether I sow or don't sow. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. But my heart, love for God demands me sowing as an expression of thanksgiving. He says, the birds, they don't sow, but I bless them. The grass, it doesn't do any of that, but I still bless it because I'm a blesser. He says, this blessing is not like what you had in the land of Egypt. I'm going to take care of all of it, sowing to the reaping. All you are set up to do is reaping. But if you're wise, you know where to come back to and say, God, you have blessed me. Here it is. It's all yours. All of it. And you and I will never be able to outgive God. Watch this. He says, and then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you when you start serving other gods. And when you do that, he says he will shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, lest ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Therefore shall ye lay them down on your children. Speak this truth to your children. Speaking of them when thou sittest in the house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Watch this. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates. Next verse. That your days may be what? Watch it. That your days may be what? What is that connected to? Honor. And the days of your children, in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers to give them, as the days of what? As the days of what? As the days of what? Heaven. On earth. You and I are supposed to live heavenly. On earth. Oh, Pastor, aren't people supposed to be broke? Yeah, people may be broke, but I'm not people. I'm a child of the Most High God. Do you receive that word? Heaven on earth. Say it with me. Heaven on earth. One more time. Heaven on earth. That's God's grace and calling for my life. Now, I've been speaking to you for a long while, but I want to wrap it up by saying to you again, it says something about the commandments, and I want to remind you what that commandment is. The commandment is not thou shalt not, and thou shalt not, and thou shalt not, and thou shalt not, and thou shalt not. The commandment is this: for if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you, to do them, and he defines it, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all of your soul. What the Lord Jesus Christ say in Matthew, in Mark, in Luke? Same thing. Love the Lord your God. That's it. God has shed abroad in our hearts his love. So rise with me. Repeat after me these words. Father, I have received your word, and your command is for me to love you with all of my heart, with all of my strength, with all of my might, with all of my soul and my body. Father, I receive the grace and the ability to love you completely. Help me, Lord. Help me to love you. I receive and activate in my heart right now this love of God. Let it be demonstrated in my words, my action, my attitudes, my givings, my expressions of faith. Call your name, Michael Efezino. Love God all of your days. Do nothing else but love God, for God will bless you beyond measure. In Jesus' name, it is decreed, it is done. All heaven, earth, and everything underneath obeys this word of command right now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I am a lover of God, and I'm blessed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Thank you for listening and receiving the word of God into your spirit. At this time, we're going to honor God with our giving. I give because I want to express thanksgiving to the Lord, recognizing that there is a blessed assurance. For his word says it's much more blessed to give than to receive. Amen? My way of continuing in the blessing is in my loving of God, by loving the people he gave his life for. So today we are going to honor God with that which God has laid in our hearts. For the Lord Jesus is the one who receives our tithes, receives our offerings, receives that which we present to him. He is here right now, and he watches us as we give out of the purity of our hearts. Amen? If you don't have a communion element, please raise your hand, because we're going to do that right immediately after we release our offering. Anybody that doesn't have the element for the Lord's Supper, just raise your hand and you'll be given the element, so we are all able to participate. Okay? I don't see any raised hands. All right. Please come. Honor God with your giving. Father, we are thankful for this wonderful opportunity. The last night before your crucifixion, you gathered your disciples together, and you shared with them at the table of communion, the Lord's Supper. Seemed like something trivial, but it was heading towards that which was going to bring salvation to all mankind. The body and the cup. As we take of this body and take of this cup today, let there be a birthing of something extraordinary for every one of us as we step from this day into a new day. May the grace of the Joseph anointing that catapults us from nowhere to a place of dignified honor be activated. We take off this body, and as we eat, we remember you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we decree it so. Take off this body and eat.
Heavenly Father,
by my Heavenly Father,
my heavens, and my earth,
are blessed.
I live in the days
of heaven on earth.
From now on, the blood of Jesus
activates this blessing.
In Jesus' name, take and drink.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It is so good to have you in the house of the Lord today. I see at least two people that I've not seen before. If you're here for the first time, just raise your hand, or second time, or